Hello, everyone. Rob here. This week, we have a patrons-only episode we're going to drop, wherein William C. Martin and myself sort of vamp on the news of the day. We talk local politics. We talk national local politics. It's interesting. But before we do that, I have a sort of a. I had a special opportunity, and I want to let you guys know what I did. Everyone knows we're in the belly of the beast. Everyone knows we're doing espionage. We have agents everywhere. We were able to get inside the Brandywine building for a very special moment, where Vice President Harris was able to speak to all the top-ranking sort of campaign folks and sort of commiserate after this loss. Because, you know, I don't really want to talk about it. I didn't want to. But I think it's important because it's like the news of the day to sort of like get to the bottom of what the hell happened here. And so we were able to record it. We have a new portable recorder for the studio. We were able to go out and use it. We got some really nice audio. And I think we're going to share it with you. I think it's important. So this is Madam Vice President Harris speaking to privately a large group of campaign managers and staffers in the Brandywine building right after the election.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Rob, for the work you do in the studio. Thank you. Thank you, Bill, for the work you did in Pennsylvania. Thank you. The outcome of this election is obviously not what we wanted. It is not what we worked so hard for, but I am proud of the race we ran, and your role in this historic loss was critical. What we did in 107 days, just 107 days, was unprecedented. We kicked an old, doddering man off the ballot. We captured an immense groundswell of excitement, and then we squandered it by refusing to say anything that we would do differently from that old man. Think about the coalition that we built. And we were so intentional about that. Don't think about it too hard, because it clearly wasn't a winning coalition. But you would hear me talk about it all the time, this coalition. Being the daughter of parents who were active in the civil rights movement, who are disappointed in the person that I turned out to be. I know and believe that the best movements that are about progress in our country mean that its leaders, that you and we, are dedicated to the coalition, to bringing people together that seemingly have nothing in common, but have everything in common. A coalition where we bring people together based on a deep love of money and power and maintaining the status quo, and our understanding that the strength of our country will be a function of our willingness to put in the work, and that you will do that work with a sense of joy. Yes, with a sense of work ethic. And I understand that's going to be hard, but it's good work. It's good work to be engaged in a collective fight for America's future. I won't be. I will be retiring with a full pension, something you all will never have. But you will be engaged in fighting for the survival of yourself and your family and the country. It just means so much to me and Governor Walz that you knocked on doors. You called friends. You called in favors. You said, hey, you know, I showed up at your softball game. Now I need you to show up at the campaign office. You put in the time. It was personal for you because, again, your life is dependent on the whims of the federal government. Mine isn't, but yours is. And you gave all that you could to support our campaign. Because of your efforts, get this, our people-powered campaign raised a historic $1.4 billion, almost $1.5 billion. Just imagine what that kind of money could have done for people in need, could have done for you, your family. Instead, we gave it to Oprah and the Sphere in Las Vegas and the losing consultants who will get the exact same jobs on the next campaign. Understand that the work that we did included the work that so many of you here did. which is to talk to first-time voters. Many of you are first-time voters, and to talk about how being involved can make a difference, and that remains true. And that's one of the pieces that I just want us to take away. That our fight for freedom and opportunity and for the promise of America, it included, for example, nearly almost 4 million first-time contributors to our campaign because of the work that you did of helping people know that they can be engaged and that they're not outside, they're inside. They're inside. And that work continues. The work just continues. It never ends because the point is to perpetually run losing campaigns so we can never really be held accountable for anything, but can continue to enrich our friends in the consultant class. The work of reminding ourselves that we have an ability to stay engaged in a way that will make a difference. The work that you all did, it's going to have lasting effect. Again, I'll say so you know, the election didn't turn out like we wanted it to. Certainly not as we planned for it to. But understand that the work we put into it was about empowering people. That's the spirit with work we did. Our spirit and our work was about saying that it is a strength that we each have to lift people up as opposed to beating people down. It is a strength we have that has lasting effect. So all that work that you did, that was about engaging with other people, engaging with perfect strangers and in their face saying a neighbor. That has lasting effect. It reminds people that there are leaders like you that care and will bring us together. And you know, sometimes in the darkest moments, people lose faith in that. Are there people out there that feel that way? And you reminded people that yes, there are, and there are a lot of us, and that strength cannot be taken from us. That is our strength. It cannot be taken from us. So listen, as I said the day after the election, because as you remember, I was unwilling to address you the day of the election, I still strongly believe the light of America's promise will burn bright as long as we never give up. And we keep fighting. And the fight that fueled our campaign, a fight for freedom and opportunity, that did not end on November 5th. A fight for the dignity of all people, that did not end on November 5th. A fight for the future? A future in which all people receive the promise of America? No. A fight that is about a fight of the ideals of our ideal nation, the ideals that reflect the ideal promise of an ideal America? That fight's not over. Because listen, when Jason Street went down in the first game of the season, everybody wrote us off. Everybody. And yet here we are at the championship game. 40,000 people out there have also written us off. There are a few out there who do still believe in you, who never give up on you. When you go back out on that field, those are the people I want in your minds. Those are the people I want in your hearts. Every man, at some point in his life, is going to lose a battle. He's going to fight, and he's going to lose. But what makes that man a man is that in the midst of that battle, he does not lose himself. This game is not over. This battle is not over. So let's hear it one more time. Together. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can I just say,
I'm sweating,
when you really started getting into it, so for the listener who can't see, Jess has baby E strapped to her and like a little baby, what is it called again?
That's like baby carrier. A wrap. Yeah, a carrier.
And like when you really started getting into it.
He started snoring.
Like, yeah, he started snoring because Mamala appeared.
Yeah, he got into it. I was like,
you really like.
I was like, shh,
baby. He was like, this is so soothing.
I know.
Well, here's what we'll learn.
America's mama.
We'll learn if the cloud lifter amplifiers do anything to cut out that low end.
I hope so. I was so cute, this is adorable.
Because
but
it was funny so because probably. As you got into it, he was getting more.
He was panting.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
All right, I've done my part.
Comrades and friends, adorable. Hello. we hope you enjoyed those words. We took a lot of risks in recording that, and so now we're here to talk about it. Medina is here. Hello.
Hey.
Jess is here.
Yeah, hey.
Everett is here. He's making his debut. His studio debut.
So
first time in the stew. Sleeping
so
through
great.
It.
He's so great. And again, we're gonna drop a longer episode, but I wanted to have a quick chat about something that literally just happened a few days ago. So our boy, the absolute lad, Hunter, he's scot-free. He's scot-free. He's got clemency, full bit, 11 years worth. Even if they found he did something, they can't do anything. Incredible.
Which he did.
Incredible.
Which
he didn't do anything.
You know what he's guilty of?
He's a witch hunt.
Being cool.
Being Joe Biden's son.
He's guilty of being a super duper cool guy.
Look, I agree.
Exactly.
Look, all he ever did was want to have a good time.
Yeah.
And he wanted to party.
And the haters want to drag him down.
Look, he wanted to party and have a good time, and that's what he did. And you know what?
And that's what he's going to do.
Exactly.
Despite what happens to the rest of us.
Because it's...
We might, you know, it might be the end of democracy as we know it, but he's going to paint through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely the end of democracy. You can tell how serious it was by how serious everybody was after the election about this will be the last one we ever have.
And they immediately are like, so who are we running in 2028?
Yeah. Like, why is it like every 4 years national Democrats are like, Michael, say goodbye to these. Because it's the last time you're ever going to vote.
Amazing. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. You can't. I think the one thing that I've learned, but I already knew this, and the people who are doing it probably won't learn, is you just can't. If you're going to lie, you have to do it in the way Trump does it, not in the way that Democrats do.
Mm-hmm.
They own it. You know, like if Biden,
but it's exciting. Though.
If Biden
like
would have said,
lies,
if the Biden administration would have said from the beginning of this Hunter Biden investigation, laptop, whatever, if he would have said from the beginning, I don't know, I got to look and see how this plays. I don't even know all the facts. I know, you know, I know Hunter was, you know, an addict and not doing great, but I don't know. Well, what if this happens? I don't know. Just keep saying, I don't know what I'm going to do until it's done, and then just do whatever you want. But you can't come out arrogantly and be like, no, we're above it. We're above it. You're not, everybody knows that you aren't. But when you act like that, see, everybody, Trump never says that he is. He just acts like everybody else acts.
Yeah.
When you act like you're the school principal or the expert or the person that knows everything, and then you just throw it in everybody's faces, people like to see you lose.
I mean, for decades, literally for decades, he's been yelling about people. Arrest the promoters.
Well,
it's just like, dude.
This might be a good
pipe
time to
down,
cut.
My
this
guy.
Might be a good time to cut in that.
Pipe down
from the floor of the Senate.
Arrest the promoter.
You can't be a player hater and have a son who's a player. I'm sorry.
you can't be a selective player hater.
Yeah, but
it's family.
Cool.
And it's funny that they can't make the leap that like. When everyone's being like, wouldn't you do the same for your son? And it's like
we're supposed to all be his. He's supposed to be our country's God.
Well, sure, but
he's
also they can't
father,
make the leap of like
children.
Every person who's in jail has some parent who knows that like, their kid is bigger than whatever they did that got them arrested. Like they can't make that leap.
No,
they're just like, wouldn't you do the same for your son? And it's like,
nope.
Yeah, let's now. What does that
empathizer
play that
chief,
out?
And
play that,
that
out. And what does it mean more broadly for the justice system
yeah,
and the prison system?
If it was part of a broad sort of jubilee where all of these whether you're old whether you have medical issues
mm-hmm.
whether you've already
yeah.
been in so long
but
and the parole's not board's not working for you whether you're in for a nonviolent
crime
just
people.
Let
right.
everybody out and if there was part of
and
something
then somehow
like that,
Hunter just got caught
look,
up in that I
look,
don't even know
Hunter gets caught up in a lot of stuff
his paperwork was just in the stack I didn't even see it
yeah this
right,
is a classic
right. I was signing so many clemency I was like I just
yes but that's
someone
exactly.
must have slipped it into the
exactly.
stack
exactly that's fine honestly I mean just if you had done this at the end of cramming a bunch of stuff through in a lame duck, like...
Yeah. But to do it right after what clearly was a Thanksgiving
yes,
dinner
yes.
decision.
Like, we're just Jill and him are like, come on,
yeah.
Dad.
Oh, buddy. Yeah, I don't... It's just perfectly indicative.
There's
of
also something to be said about, like... I mean, maybe this is too controversial, but I'm going to say it anyway. I've watched The Godfather what, trilogy, is that what we call it? Sometimes you got a Fredo and you got to take him out on a boat. Sometimes you got to take him out on a boat. I mean, now, lame dunk president, there's no point in doing that. But, I mean, I had a bunch of people on my phone that were just, like, shocked when they found out. And I'm like, guys, when Kamala lost, this was the only thing I knew Biden was going to do.
Oh, yeah, this was like, as unsurprising as anything I
like,
can think of.
It's almost too on brand.
Yeah.
Like, what else do you got going on?
Right. Because, again, his like he's only ever truly cared about his own family.
His baby boy. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, like I said, I listened to that speech he gave on the Senate floor about like what he would do with crack. What do we do with crack users? And it's just like,
the way they talk about Hunter, they really, you would think he's like 19 years old.
I know.
Like, you would think he's younger than Barron.
Well,
they talk about him.
Yeah, that was funny. I noticed people bring up that text exchange.
Just a kid.
About like, I love you, kid. And it was like, they don't mention he was like 52 years old.
Right.
He said,
listen, I get it. Your kid is always your kid,
he's
but at some point.
Right, but like,
at some point, you gotta, like, you know, cut those apron strings, kick him out of the nest.
Shoot, just, it's not like they couldn't just put him up in the UAE or something.
Right.
Like, he doesn't need to be
Well,
here.
That's what they did for 10, 20 years, is just give him, like, weird jobs and try to keep them out of their hair. And
yeah,
then
in other countries.
Now it's coming back to roost.
Yeah, especially if you send him to, like Dubai. And be like, hey,
right.
But it's hard to get drugs. You can't get drugs in Dubai.
Honestly,
I mean, you can. I know that you can. That's not what I mean. But it might be plenty of
places for him to have a great time.
Oh,
that don't involve his dad going back on his values. But it doesn't matter in the end, right? None of it matters because Blue MAGA, they are strapped in, all the way. Like, the amount of, like, crazy posts I've seen. This guy yesterday, I'm not even going to say where I was, but I'll just say a medical professional was, like, trying to chat it up with me and a family member, and they're like, well, I guess it just takes $1 million to win an election. And I'm like,
wait, what does that even mean?
I couldn't tell you. For, like, a good 10 minutes, I just sat there with, like, the lady in that meme doing different formulas. What did he mean? Because Kamala had
She should have won 100 times
what?
Then. Or no, excuse
they
me, 1,000 times.
Huh? They literally took $1.5 billion.
They could have cured homelessness.
Just burned it.
Yes.
They could have done so many things and we would have had a better reality right now.
Yeah. I don't know. The people, like, it's funny because I feel like, to the point of earlier saying, oh, we were talking about it, like, democracy ends if Kamala doesn't win, but then as soon as she doesn't win, people are like, okay, you know, we repaired our bridges with Trump because we have to make sure that we have media access, and we are, and like, and no one seemed to really be freaking out about anything that he was going to do, and now this is the thing they're freaking out about. It's like that this has created this groundswell of, like, Blue MAGA people being like, no, because Trump was going to go after Hunter. Like, that's what they're worried
about.
That's what they're worried about.
Forget your
one guy.
Here's what they don't
want. Access to reproductive care.
Right. No, they're just worried about one guy.
It doesn't even
matter.
The reason they're going after Hunter is because Joe Biden is the president of the United States. He's gone now. That's over. I mean, Bill Clinton still sort of floats around. Hillary Clinton's gone. So you don't hear about the emails, or you don't hear about Whitewater, or you don't hear about Frank Rich or whatever. You don't hear about any, because those people are gone. The idea that they had to give him immunity for 11 years because they would keep going after him after Joe Biden's almost got one foot in the
fucking immunity
grave.
For 11 years is not about protecting him from what he already did or from Trump. It's to protect Hunter from himself for 11 years. Because I know he's throwing a party of the century right now. It started when it was announced, and they've been partying ever since.
Yeah.
And
the Biden,
I don't know, maybe check the dumpster out behind the Acme around the corner from here, because you might find a gun.
You might find more guns.
Yeah.
And we might need him.
Yeah, and that's
Trump's
like,
America.
People just do not understand. They're not going to go after him anymore because Biden is fucking irrelevant. Now.
I know. But do you think
he's
like
absolutely
weird...
irrelevant? So what would be the point? That's not how things
I'm trying
work.
To think of what the thing... I mean, I think it's a little bit like, again, Joe Biden only cares about his family and doesn't want this, like... Does he think it's going to like tarnish his legacy?
It's on his person. It's like what the high school principal used to say. This is going on your permanent record.
Like, at this point, what legacy do you have?
Nobody cares. Like, nobody. Yeah, this is the thing. See, these are the people who are like, Trump got indicted for 30, got found guilty. Nobody cares. Stop talking about this shit nobody cares about.
It's so funny to do the things that everyone claimed that Trump was going to do. Like, it really is kind of like remarkable. Mm-hmm. But because it's just in the nicer packaging, everyone's fine with it. It's really like, this is what everyone was saying Trump would do. Oh, he's going to pardon himself and all of his family and everything else. It's like, okay, but we did that. Oh, he's going to build the wall and shut down the border. It's like, okay, but you did that. And like everything that he's going to, you know, persecute trans people. It's like, well, you're not standing up for them anymore. That's being too woke now. Yeah. So like everything
that's
that,
actually why we lost.
Yes.
Yeah, we were too woke. Because we stood up for trans people.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, it's the far left.
Yeah. You guys think that America's woke, but they're really not.
Mm-hmm. Americans aren't ready for
that
it.
We have, you know, conservatives values.
Yeah.
And inflation. That's what Americans want.
Yeah. Well, and what I understand
they
from
want,
that is that 60 years ago when
EVs
white men were working for
Democrats,
when white men were voting for Democrats 60 years ago, they were actually more tolerant than white men are now. That's what it is, right? Working class people were more tolerant 60 years ago. That's why they voted for Democrats. And now we're too woke for them.
We've outrun it. Yeah, the whole, I will say, and I didn't have a lot of faith in it to begin with, but I have no faith anybody's learning any of these lessons. I mean, to Vice President Harris's point, we're going to continue to do the same stuff because we're arrogant. We think this is the way it's got to be. And they would, I don't think they set out to lose, but because the system is in place, it doesn't matter. As long as they're either going to win the way they want to win or lose.
Yeah. Well, it's like it's basically a money laundering scheme to again that consultant class of people. But like it's they have this idea that they're going to find this like mythical group of new voters. Like
without
that like
anything.
You know what I mean? But like they're like it's the voters that are wrong. But we don't need the voters. There's other people out there that we can find.
Well it's not like, just the voters.
Like, we'll just get the moderate
we don't need
Republicans.
Democratic voters.
Yeah, exactly.
We need Republican voters.
Right.
Which I think David Plouffe made this point, and he threw in a little profanity just for a little razzle dazzle.
We won't do that here,
guys. we're never gonna win this shit, guys, unless we get conservatives in swing states, and we gotta win them more than Republicans.
Yeah, he's got
like,
Excel.
Wait,
he's
what?
Got Excel.
Brain. Yeah, but
he's been
it's
looking
also,
at too many Excel spreadsheets.
Is that
but
how
like,
we
think
won
about
in 2020?
How, exactly, and like
what?
But they clearly alienated the base in their quest for conservatives.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
the bottom dropped out.
They're just looking at numbers.
Oh yeah,
they're just looking at numbers.
By
they're
a
not,
lot.
Like, they're not doing.
They're looking
politics.
At numbers and
they're
taking for granted
numbers.
The base.
They're looking at numbers and there's like, well, we're not going to do anything. It's just like how you're going to sell it. Can we sell it to get this mythical sort of like moderate
that
conservative?
That was also just very.
Just do some politics. Give people what they want. Give people a social program. Give them something. You know, act like you want to act like FDR for fuck's sake. That's the easiest thing to do. He already did it. And it wasn't like he was a fucking socialist either.
Right.
And so just at least that's the bare minimum. No. But all you do is look at a spreadsheet and be like, hey, I think there's an extra 2% here. If we sell it like this, if we talk about joy and not talk.
It's crazy
just fucking
that
do politics,
they just
you stupid.
Wrote up
well, and
a
they just
way
keep
to
thinking,
say why.
Like, yeah.
We sat around a table and we tried to figure out how can we lie to the American people in a way that they would like.
But the thing is, you made the point
that's
earlier.
It,
it's like
that's you should be a consultant. That's the consultant.
I mean, that's the lady. Did
but
you guys watch the Pod Save America?
I can't bring
no,
myself
I'm
to watch it.
Watch that.
No,
I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched like clips of it. Yeah. And there's a clip
I've seen
where she's
clips
just like,
float around.
So she didn't want. She's very loyal to Biden, and she didn't want to say that she didn't support anything that he supported. So we tried to figure out a way to lie and say. They didn't say lie. Obviously. Yeah. I'm adding that for emphasis, just so you can understand what she was trying to say.
She was using a word that meant lie.
I'm a consultant.
She was using
translator.
A euphemism for lie.
We're trying to obfuscate.
Like, so we tried to lie about her in a way that the voter would think she was different without her being different. So, for example, when people would say, oh, inflation. Oh, my money's worth less now than it was before. We would say, no, it's not.
You're confused.
It's not. There's actually more eggs in the carton now.
Yes.
Yeah. Every egg carton is 13 eggs now.
Yeah. You don't see that?
You just can't count because you're dumb.
Yeah. Because you're not college educated, like our ideal voter.
I won't say who it was. I was at an event, and a member of Congress was talking about how the reason why, one of the reasons why the Democrats lost the election this year is because we have millions of illiterate Americans. And I'm is this a recent development? Did we not have them 4 years ago?
It is remarkable, like, to your point of no one's learning a lesson. They just think it's a communication problem. They're just like, we didn't nail the messaging.
Yeah.
And that's because it has all been infiltrated. And whatever, I've got a comms degree. I'm an idiot, too. I studied advertising. Like, burn me at the stake. But it's because that's who has infiltrated the party.
Yeah.
It's just people with journalism and comms degrees who think that your way to winning is just getting the right message and micro-targeting with each individual person gets their version of the right message. And we just missed it this time. So we got to figure out how to communicate better.
What I'll add to that is, like, it's that with the understanding or assumption that the message is set. And it's set by the Republicans. Like, we're not going to do, like, because a great message could be like an FDR message where, like, we're going to put food on every table. We're going to.
But that's policy to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not messaging. That's policy to them.
Yeah, and they don't want to do that. They literally don't want to do that. They want to make up a story that, like you said.
Right, right.
I think this. Well, they're like, oh, but you're wrong. It's actually, we have these other numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
And the numbers we look at look great.
And they're like, sir, like, they're knocking on the door and they're like, Democrats, we don't have any money. Our kids are hungry.
They're like, we have $1.5 billion.
And they're like, what do you mean? We created thousands of jobs.
Exactly.
What do you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you mean? What do you mean you can't find a good job? Go work at Chick-fil-A. They're hiring. I just passed a sign.
I saw it.
Yeah.
You must not be trying hard enough.
Too.
Have you put in hundreds and hundreds of applications yet?
Why don't you work full-time at Chick-fil-A and at Wawa?
Yeah. Then you would essentially be making $30 an hour. You just have to work double hours.
So just what you should do is just put yourself in a vat, split yourself in half, and work at both places.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good messaging.
You don't like that? Oh, let's throw trans people under the bus. That must be the way to win over someone like that.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't want to work, so it must be because they're not woke enough. And we have to be more racist.
Everyone has a job. They just don't like sharing bathrooms, guys.
Yes.
We went too far.
Yeah, we have full employment. It's just
we have full employment.
People have to work with people that aren't like them and they hate it. That's what it is.
I'm glad we got it. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's a messaging, right? It's like, we're not going to change what we're doing.
No.
No.
And if you point that out, we're just going to figure out how to tell you you're wrong.
Or we're going
to
tell you.
And that's a winning. That's a flawless campaign. Mm-hmm. We're on a flawless campaign.
Yeah, I mean.
Or we're just going to tell you that the other guy's worse. Duh. Yeah.
Right.
Don't you know that it's worse?
Would interrupt and be like, I would really love it if you focused on how the planet is going up in flames. They'd be like, what do you want, Trump?
Yeah, for climate? You think he's going to be good on the climate?
If you want Trump, say that. Say that if you want Trump.
Yeah.
And everyone's just like,
just go vote for Trump then. Just go vote for Trump then.
Okay. Yeah, well,
everybody did. Yeah. So
that message got through.
Maybe that one didn't work as well as you thought it might because they just went and did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again.
It's like, if all your friends went and jumped off a bridge, would you? Maybe. Should I?
Yeah.
What do you
What's
think,
at the
mommy?
Bottom?
Mamala. What should I do, Mamala?
Is there a promise of something at
All
the bottom?
All my friends want to vote for Trump.
Well, do you want to be like your friends?
Right. Kind of.
Yeah, duh.
Sort of,
that's,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they're my friends.
Yeah. I do get a kick out of the worst people I know. Well, because that's what's good about being in Delaware is, like, we do have a lot of just the lib delusion. You call it a blue MAGA. I don't know.
Delusion.
Whatever you want to call it, like, they just will not.
It's a tribal mindset
again. And I'll bring this up. This is the other thing we didn't talk about because it's not, it's not a domestic issue. But if you're going to pretend that nothing's going on in Gaza and the West Bank now, then fuck you. Then, and again, it's the same thing. Well, do you want Trump? I don't know.
How does it get worse?
How does it get worse?
Know.
Yeah.
Is that so? I'm going to be 51 years old. I don't really care about. I'd like the NLRB, but I really like to think about an arms embargo and Medicare for all. Well, we're not offering that. Okay. Well, what about Trump? I don't care. Like, what's your point? If you're going to continue to do that, not even bring it up, and actually join the echoes of people to, like, clear college campuses of people being like, hey, don't kill these people's
slaughter
families.
My family, yeah.
Or send, what's his name, to Michigan, the guy from the Bronx,
Richie Torres
to Michigan, and be like, yeah, you know, half your family has been vaporized by bombs we built in Nebraska. But, yeah, go fuck yourself. And they're like, why did we lose? I don't know. What's Trump? Trump going to do? I mean, you don't have a good message. People don't like it. Don't worry about what the other person's doing. Do what you need to do.
Yeah.
You know, but nobody wants to really do that. They don't want to do politics. They want to look at spreadsheets and figure out in this state there's like 700 people that we can send this weird TikTok message
to. Well, it's just an acceptance of status quo. It's like things are not going to change. So how do we, to your point, just like figure out where those hidden voters are in our spreadsheets and in our polls?
Yeah.
That we can find to just move the like five of them to the other side of the line so that we win these electoral votes that we need. It's not about like how are we actually going to change your life, society, actually build a society for God's sakes. Like it's not about any of that. Nothing's going to change. But how do we just try to convince enough people
that
they should be on our side of the line? Like that's really all it is. And I hate to just be such a doomer about it, but like. It's just really depressing because there are genuinely so many things that need to be fixed and they need to be wrapped up in like a holistic package of sorts that you can talk about in terms of what it will do for people and why we will do it and who will do it and how we'll be involved and how it actually is like, again, remaking a society, which we just dramatically lack at this point. But no one is going to do that of these people. At least of the people that are on offer.
I've told you guys before, like when I worked for the Bidens, one of my first interactions with everyone who worked for them was like, they are that consultant class you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And like, I remember what was so disturbing to me was.
You told that 529 story. Like, that totally stuck out with me. Remember that?
That's literally, that's exactly what I'm talking
like,
about.
I remember. Sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt you. But
no,
I was like,
no,
yes,
but, like,
that story
exactly
is perfect.
The meaning I'm thinking of. Like, Joe Biden. And, like, that's what's got me kind of thinking now. I'm like, I do feel like Joe Biden was a better candidate in that way. Like, in the policy that matters for people way than Kamala. But, like, he was going to lose, too. He was definitely going to lose.
Right.
They were going
to
wipe the floor.
He knew he had to say those things, even though he knew he was never going to do them.
Right. But, like, when I worked for them, I remember being really excited because... he was focused on middle class economics and like wanted to get rid of different things like 529 plans and stuff like that that hoards well for the upper class. And at the time was pre-COVID, and it was like opioid epidemic was the thing everybody was talking about. He has two children that have struggled with addiction, and he was talking about how like he was mad, like he got super animated, and he's like, why are these dentists prescribing these opioids for a toothache? And like nobody
classic,
was pushing
classic
back,
Biden scream,
right?
That's a yeah. Yeah, like I wasn't there, but I can
hear
like,
it.
And I was like, yeah, like it's like because like, people are getting paid to make money,
yeah,
like you know,
right? They're paid to,
and he like complained about the 529 plans, and then after I'm around like his advisors, and they're all like, I don't know what he's talking about. That's the best part of going to the dentist's office.
Oh my god.
And I was just like, do you not know that his kids are in and out of what is wrong with you?
Yikes.
Like, and like these are policy experts. These aren't just like people bebopping around. Like these are people that are in charge. Like that's really scary.
Yeah.
And everybody's laughing, and I was like, this is like really off-putting and like worrisome. And in the same interaction, the same person was like, I don't know, because Biden was like, I don't even know anybody who has one of these 529 plans.
Which, like, he definitely does.
He does.
Like, come
he
on.
Does.
I, like, love that, though, he just pretends. That, like,
yeah,
same person.
Yeah, yeah.
Same person's like, I don't know what he's talking about. I have one of those plans for my kids.
Yeah.
And, like, his kids probably had them for
exactly.
And I'm like, okay, but, like, how come no one, like, I didn't know that.
Right.
I know I don't have one. I know my parents didn't have one for me and my siblings. But, like, no one in that space would tell him that.
Yeah. Right. They just wait till
like,
he leaves.
Oh, they're just going to like, you know, I'm doing the thing with the hand. The little like marionette thing, right? Where they're just like around him.
Right.
Orchestrating this campaign, right. administration. That is 100% not any of the values that he professes to, you know, hold.
When he could profess to.
Yeah, and like now it's like, you know, he's not an active participant in any of this, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Certainly doesn't seem that way.
I think...
R.I.P. R.I.P.
R.I.P. And that's just how I'll close it. I'll give him a little eulogy.
Wait, real quick before you close.
Well, I just want to
say, I think we are going to have another election. I think 2028.
No, that's over. I don't know if you...
I think that's going to happen. It's over. And I'm going to be the first to say it. I'm going to be the first to say Jimmy Carter 2028.
You were the first to say Jimmy Carter 2024, and you know what? You were right to say
it. I was right.
Does he have to live another 4 years to vote for the next Democratic nominee?
Yeah,
he needs
obviously.
To live another 4 years so he can run.
Yeah, he's running. He's
got
running.
Another 4 years in him.
You're seeing pictures of that guy, right?
He looks great.
I mean...
He's got another 4 years in him. And by 4 years, I mean in office. He's got another 8 years in him.
He might die before this is released.
I'll be his vice president.
I don't think so.
I think I'll be old enough by then. Right?
Yeah. 35.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. If Jimmy... Look, Jimmy... Jimmy, President Jimmy.
Carter Wilson Anton ticket.
Make it another 4 years. I will be your VP.
That's the dream job in politics. Jimmy Carter's
VP. Jimmy Carter.
Oh, man. Grim. Cool.
Well, Biden has always been a fake and a phony. That's why everybody around here behind enemy lines always likes that, because they love having their ass kissed. That's why he talks the way he talks. That's why he talks about the 7-Elevens and the fentanyls and the cracks and all that stuff. And why it was like the busing. And he's just telling you fucking rubes what you want to hear. As Medina said earlier, he's going on this diatribe about why these opioids are being prescribed at the dentist and at this office and at that office. And it's because of the economy and the way that the system that he fought for 35 years, 40 years, 50 years, whatever. And so to get in front of people and pretend that you don't know why people are prescribing Oxycontin is an insult to people. They don't like it. And they'd rather have like the funny guy that dances weird and eats McDonald's, because the shtick was up. You know, I know people around here are not going to want to face this fact, but yeah, he was Joe Biden will go down in history as a failure. I don't know. The country's not going in a good direction. I hope everybody realizes that all of our jokes don't mean that we're fucking happy about it. It stinks. But there's nothing we can fucking do about it, because we've told you for years what some of our ideas, and you don't want to do them. So keep losing. And remember this, we kind of talked about it, I forget if the microphones are on or not, but we're going to play you out to a little Joe Biden. Think about Hunter Biden in your mind, how cool he was, what he was doing. Thinking about, you know, a stripper coming and lighting up that rock for him. Him just chilling, you know, chilling naked at the fucking Chateau Marmont or whatever, you know, and just chilling, just being him, you know. Think about that. And then listen to old Uncle Joe, your friend Uncle Joe that you saw at the Sears in 1988 buying a fucking lawnmower. You know, think about that, and then think about this. And yeah, we'll be back. If you're a patron, you're going to get a whole other episode this week. If you're not, become a patron, you'll get the whole other episode this week. Otherwise, next week we're actually going to start kicking off the series about the homelessness issue in Wilmington, and specifically the sweeps that have been happening at Sam and at Friendship House. I'll be talking to Father Patrick Burke, director at Sam Church. The week after that, I'll be talking to Kim Eppheimer from the Friendship House. And the week after that, I hope to have something really special. So continue to follow us. Hit us up on patreon.com. You know what to do. And yeah, no matter what anybody says, left is best.
But let's look at the facts. Since 1986, Congress has passed over 230 new or expanded penalties for drug and criminal offenses in this United States. 230 new penalties. And these penalties range from an automatic 5 years in jail for any person caught with a rock of crack cocaine, a piece of crack cocaine as small as a quarter.
I don't have a quarter with me, but if you visualize what one looks like, yeah, I do have a quarter. If you have a piece of crack cocaine no bigger than this quarter that I'm holding in my hand, $0.25, we passed a law through the leadership of Senator Thurman and myself and others, a law that says if you're caught with that, you go to jail for 5 years. You get no probation. You get nothing other than 5 years in jail. Judge doesn't have a choice. Now, the fact of the matter is, we've gone from there all the way up to saying, under the leadership of Senator Thurman, and I'd like to suggest that I take some small credit for it myself as well, and others, the presiding officer, that there is now a death penalty. And we passed it a couple years ago. If you are a major drug dealer involved in the trafficking of drugs and murder results in your activities, you go to death. And a number of other severe penalties. We changed the law so that if you are arrested and you are a drug dealer, under our forfeiture statutes, you can, the government can, take everything you own, everything from your car to your house, your bank account, not merely what they confiscate in terms of the dollars from the transaction that you just got caught engaging in. They can take everything. We have laws in the last several years where we don't allow judges' discretion to sentence people. Flat time sentencing. You get caught, you go to jail.